Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Daf Mem Vav in the Gemara in Shabbos. We begin about 8-10 lines down from the top of Mem Vav and Aleph with the words, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. In yesterday's shiur, we had first started off saying that Rav Yochanan held like Rabbi Shimon that there is no concept of muktzah, except with something like Grogros Utsmukim, or we had the Ner Shekova, until it actually goes out, so then that's considered, according to Rabbi Shimon, Muktzah. But otherwise, he doesn't hold from Muktzah Machlus Mius, he doesn't hold from other types of Muktzah, he doesn't hold the concept of Muktzah, except in those rare situations. And originally, we said that Rabbi Yochanan held like him, but then we subsequently proved that Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is a concept of muktzah, various different types of muktzah, and it was Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi who was the opinion that held like Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara questions that. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, is in fact this true, that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we find that we had earlier in the Gemara and also in the Mishnayis in Kelim, where it said Halacha Kistam Mishnah, that we normally have Rav Yochanan throughout Shas as the famous Shita, that he always passes like a Stam Mishnah. If a Mishnah doesn't have an attribution, it's called a Stam Mishnah. It's not Divrei Rav Meir, it's not Divrei Rav Yehuda, it's a Stam Mishnah. So Rav Yochanan says the reason why Rebbe reviewed and us, he set up the Stam Mishnayis, was to say that that's how we should paskin. And therefore, based upon this principle of Rav Yochanan that we pass like a Stam Mishnah, Utnan, and we had earlier in the Gemara on Daf Mem Dalet, Muchni, now this again, if you remember, was the wheel. We had a wooden carriage, and we said that in regards to certain types of Tum and Tara situations, do we consider the wheel part of the carriage or not? If it's attached fully to the carriage, then it can count towards the carriage and do whatever the carriage does in terms of blocking Tuma, in terms of counting towards the 40 saw to see whether it's a utensil or it's not a utensil, whether it can accept Tuma, it cannot accept Tuma. So we learned in that Mishnah, it's also Mishnah in Kalim as well, Umuchni Shelah, this Muchni of the wheel of this carriage, Bizman Shehinishmetis, if it goes on and off. In other words, it's detachable. It's not considered a permanent part of the chassis, of the chariot over here. So when it comes on and off, Ein Chiburla, it's not considered halachically connected to it in regards to the dinamo, the Einim Dedes Imah, doesn't count towards making the 40 saw, the minimal size you need to have over here, for this not to be considered a keli, and for it to be considered a permanent structure that can block Tumah and Tara. And therefore, the wheel is not considered to be counted towards that 40 saw. It likewise, even though the chariot might be able to block the tumah of Ohel HaMeis, but the wheel would not block the tumah. And likewise, we said in that Mishnah that if there was money on top of this wheel, you would not be allowed to move the wheel, because the wheel would be a basis over here for this dover also, for the money. And you wouldn't be allowed to move the wheel in Gorin also b'Shabbos b'zman sheish lehomos, when there's money on it. Implication being, ha'eino lehomos shaya. If there was no money on the wheel, then you would be allowed to go and move it. And this is true, even though there was money on it. Now, right now we're assuming that means during the entire Bein HaShemashos, and this Mishnah, therefore, is a Stam Mishnah that seems to hold like Rabbi Shimon. Because if the money was present on it during the entire Bein HaShemashos period of time, and yet, if the money is not on it right now, you're allowed to move this wheel, you'd be allowed to be Gorin Oso B'Shabbos, so in this situation, we would not be applying Migu, this Katsoi Ben HaShemashos, it's Katsoi Kolayom Kula. This would be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that the fact that the money was on it during the entire Ben HaShemashos is irrelevant. As long as the money isn't on it right now, you'd be allowed to go and roll this wheel. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So this is a Stam Mishnah that's in accord with Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yochanan says, we pass it like a Stam Mishnah in accord with Rabbi Shimon. So how can we say that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? That's the question. So Amar Zera answers away this kasha by saying, Tei Mishnah Seinu, you have to read this Mishnah over here, not that it's on the wheel, the money is on the wheel, the entire Bein HaShemashos period of time, Ella read it, Shelohi Olel Mos, Kol Bein HaShemashos, that this Mishnah is talking about that the money was not on the wheel during the entire Bein HaShemashos, and therefore we don't apply the principle of anything that's on it during the Bein HaShemashos. If it's Migud, the Iskatsoi, Bein HaShemashos, if it's Muktzah during the entire Bein HaShemashos, then it's Muktzah the rest of Shabbos like Rabbi Yehuda. But here, it wasn't on it during the entire Bein HaShemashos, and therefore, Shelo Lishbor, Dvarav Shor Yochanan, we can still paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over here, because this now is a Stam Mishnah that's not like Rabbi Shimon. This could be perfectly in accord with Rabbi Yehuda, because it wasn't that the money was on it during the entire Bein HaShemashos, and even Rabbi Yehuda says if the money wasn't on it during the entire Bein HaShemashos, it's not Muktzah. So therefore, this Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, And Rabbi Yochanan can paskin like the Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, and also, of course, then he fits in with yesterday's shiur where he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rishu ben Levi. Rishu ben Levi says, Pam achas holach Rebbe li diosfara. Rebbe went to a place. Actually, it's Mokum. It's a certain place called Diosfara. And Vahore b'menorik Rebbe Shimon b'ner. And he paskined over here, like the opinion of Rebbe Shimon, that a ner doesn't have a concept of mukta if it's talking about a earthenware candle that had been used in the past. So there's no mukta machmas mias according to Rebbe Shimon. So they asked in the yeshiva, Yiboyluhu, Hora b'menorik Rebbe Shimon b'ner le tera. Rashi explains over here what the question is. They weren't sure exactly what he was saying. What was Yeshua's opinion over here? Number one, this is either one opinion over here, and this is what the Gemara is telling us, that he in fact paskened over here like Rabbi Shimon, just like Rabbi Shimon says that there is no muktzu machmas mios by an old earthenware candle, even though it's messy and foul smelling, but there's no concept of muktzu, and therefore that's the single statement that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said, that we paskened over here, when Rabbi went to the Yusfara, he paskened over here that single statement. Or alternatively, the Gemara says, the Rishu ben Levi is saying that there were two aros over here. Number one, Ho Rebbe Menorah Le'Isser, Kidamrino and Bechidki. That the first Gzeira that he said, the first statement that Rishu ben Levi said was that we paskin over here like the grooved candelabra that we talked about yesterday, that we said that we make a Gzeira from the grooved one to the one that has Choyos. Because we know not to Choyos. And Rabbi Shimon Hora Benir Lehetter. And he also paskin like Rabbi Shimon in regards to the old earthenware Nair, the candelabra, that it is not muktzah machmas mius. So did he make one or did he make two statements? That's the question that they were asking the Beis Medrash on what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said. And the Gemara says, take it. We don't come to an answer. We're not sure what he said. That's the way Rashi understands this, nice and simple. Tosfos has a totally different approach to it. We'll go weiter. Gemara says, Rav Malkia ikla lebe Rav Simloi. Rav Malkia, one of the Amoraim, he went to Rav Simloi's house, Vitiltel Shraga, and he went, and in fact, he moved a candlestick, in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that after the Shabbos Licht had gone out, it's not Mokza, and you can go and use it. So Rav Malkia clearly held like Rabbi Shimon, but he was in the house of Rabbi Simloi, the Ikbid Rabbi Simloi, and Rabbi Simloi wasn't happy about that, because Rabbi Simloi held like Rabbi Yehuda. Similarly, Rav Yossi Galilah, Rav Yossi from the Galilah. This is not Rav Yossi Galili, this is Rav Yossi Galilah. He's one of the Amorayim. Ikla li asrei de Rav Yossi Ruchanina. He went to the shtot where Rav Yossi Ruchanina was the Rebbe there. And Tilto Shraga, he did the exact same thing. He paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and he moved such a candlestick after it, the light had gone out, after the Shabbos Licht had gone out. He moved it. The Ikbid Rav Yossi Ruchanina. And Rav Yossi Ruchanina was upset about that, because Rav Yossi Ruchanina held like Rabbi Yehuda. Next case. Rabbi Avo, when Rabbi Avo came, Kiikli asked Rabbi Shimon Levi, when Rabbi Avo came to the neighborhood of Rabbi Shimon Levi, we said yes, the Rabbi Shimon Levi passes like Rabbi Shimon. He doesn't hold for Muktzah. So Avimatatl Shraga. So after the Shabbos Licht went out, he would move them from the table. He did whatever he wanted with them because it was in the shtot of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, who paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no concept of Muktzah after the lights went out. However, when Rabbi Avo went, Kiikli asked the Rabbi Yochanan, we went to the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan passes like Rabbi Yehuda, he wouldn't go and move the candlesticks after they went out. Now, the Gemara says, Manav Shach, how did Rabbi Avo paskin? Ik Rabbi Yehuda Sirilei, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so then, Liovik Rabbi Yehuda, then he should have followed Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, even when he was in the shtot of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Ik Rabbi Shimon Sirilei, if he holds in fact like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muktzah after the candles went out, so Liovik Rabbi Shimon, then he should have moved the candlesticks. So what if he's in Rabbi Yochanan's neighborhood? Gemara says, no. He in fact did hold like Rabbi Shimon, and he in fact didn't hold for muktzah once the lights went out, once the licht went out, so then he would allow the candlesticks to be moved. However, when he was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shimon Levi, who paskin like that, so he felt no problem in paskining like that for practical purposes. However, mishum kvodah the Rabbi Yochanan, when he was in Rabbi Yochanan's shtat, who delo havi ovid, he wouldn't go and do that because he didn't think it was right to go against the head of the neighborhood, Rav Yochanan. When you're in somebody else's shtat, you're in somebody else's town, you don't go and paskin against their opinion, even though you personally paskin against that. Rav Yehuda, Shraga de Mishcha, Sharlatil Tula. Rav Yehuda says, now this is the Amora Rav Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. So the Amora Rav Yehuda says, a shraga that's made for Mishcha, in other words, a candlestick over here that uses oil, so In this situation, shari l'tutula, you're allowed to go and move it after the candlestick has, the light has gone out. The candlestick is not muksa, as Rashi says over here. Ach shakova, kerev shimon the lo mas. Even though this candlestick had been lit, but now it went out, and he doesn't hold any muksa mach mesmias. There's no problem with moving it. That was the Amora Rav Yehuda's opinion for this oil candlestick. Now, the nafta, however, if it was made out of naft, in other words, if the flame over here was using naft, the misrach, Rashi says, it's very, very foul smelling, then afilu Rabbi Shimon mode de lo chazi elo melachto. Then, even Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's muksa. It's only usable over here as a candlestick, and therefore, on Shabbos, it is absolutely not usable as a candlestick anymore, because you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. So therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would say that this naft, the fueled candlestick, is not allowed to be moved. Also, the total. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, in terms of the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, the Tana, that if it's a regular menorah, an earthenware menorah, that the lights went out, he doesn't hold muktzah mach mesmias, but this naft menorah that used naft as the fuel, so then that's so foul smelling, much more so than a regular earthenware menorah, even Rabbi Shimon would say that you can't move it. Now, Rabbi Rav Yosef disagreed. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damri Tavayu, Dinefta Nami, Shari Litotula. They held that Rabbi Shimon holds even such foul-smelling lamp that's made with naft to, as the fuel, even that, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not muksa. So Rabbi and Rav Yosef take the opinion of the Amora Rav Yehuda even one step further. Rav Yehuda says that Rabbi Shimon does hold that a naft-fueled lamp is muksa, and Rabbi and Rav Yosef say even a naft-fueled lamp is not muksa, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, we delete the parentheses over here, because that's going to be the answer that the Gemara will give in a second, and therefore, the Marshal deletes it from over here. It's not wrong, but it just doesn't belong over here. Now, Rav Avya Ikla Lebe Rava. Rav Avya once went to Rava's house. Now, we'll see in a moment the significance of this story over here. Hava mi'ison be'kare betina. His legs were very muddied. He had shoes on, and his legs were muddied. And asive apurya kamei de Rava. He put his feet up on the bed of Rava. His muddy feet he put on the bed. Guess what? Ikbid Rava. Rava got upset. Now, this is not a simple story of somebody just being inconsiderate and putting dirty feet on somebody's leg. The Mefarshim explained that this is a machlokus that he had in Halacha between Rav Avya and Rava. Rava held like Rav Shimon, and Rav Avya did not hold like Rav Shimon. He holds like Rav Yehuda, as we will see. So therefore, Rav Avya put his dirty feet up on Rava's bed and did not go and scrape them off with a muktza stone. According to Rav Yehuda, it's a muktza stone. He couldn't take something and scrape off the mud. And he wanted to show Rava that Rava's wrong. You can't paskel like Rabbi Shimon and say that things aren't muktzah when they are. And therefore, he specifically demonstrated this din to Rava by putting his dirty feet on his bed. Now, Rava was upset, ikbid Rava, that mishum tina famita, because he got his bed dirty. So boil it seuri. He says, I'm going to show you, Rav Avya. Now, how does the Talmud Chacham show another Talmud Chacham? He's going to beat him in halacha. He's going to show him that he's incorrect in halacha. So he says, Bishelus, Rashi says, he's going to show him that his opinion halacha is wrong. Nobody cared about the mud. Nobody cared about the bed. They were interested in the halacha la'amita. They wanted to know what the halacha is. So Rav Avya holds like Rav Yehuda, and Rava holds like Rabbi Shimon. So he's going to show that Rav Avya is wrong. Amalei. So he tells Rav Avya, Amalei, my taima, Rabba the Rav Yosef, Dami Tavayu, Shrug the Nap, the Nami Sholi Tiltule. How come Rabba and Rav Yosef hold that, like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muktzah over here, even by the naft fueled candelabra? That even though it's really foul smelling, there's no muktzah, because they hold like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no such muktzah over here. Therefore, you can go take something that is worthless and useless, it's not usable as a candlestick anymore, because it's Shabbos, and yet you're allowed to move it to do something else with it. So you could take a stone, which is muktza, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but not muktza according to Rabbi Shimon, if you needed to go scrape the mud off your shoe. Amalei. So that's the response that Rava told Rav Avya. Rav Avya responds to him and says, Amalei, hol v'chazi l'chisui b'monim. Rav Avya says, no, it's not totally muktza. It still is a useful utensil. This metal naft-fueled candelabra, while it's foul-smelling, could still be used to cover something up. L'chisui b'mana. That's the answer that we had before that was in parentheses. The whole v'chazi l'chasas b'mana. You could use it to go cover up something, and therefore it's not useless. And that's why you're allowed to use it. But if it's not a kli, if it's something that's totally useless, then everybody holds, including Rabbi Shimon, that it's muktzah. Gemara says, Rava then responds to him, Elamayato, if you're telling me that this candlestick, this Netfield candlestick, which is garbage, is still able to use for something, L'chisu b'mana, so Elamayato, ha, Rava says, I got you, Ravavia. Elamayato, kol tsroo shemichot simitaltalim, then you should be able to pick up a stone from the yard and go clean off your boot with it, with the mud. Ho v'chazi l'chisu b'mana. It can also be used to go and be a cover for a utensil. So just like the candelabra that's foul smelling can be used as a cover for a utensil, so too this should be able to be used as a cover for a utensil. How come the stones you don't say you can use, but the candelabra, the nath fueled candelabra, you do say, ah, I got you. That's what Rava says to Rav Avia. Rav Avia responds, no, Amle. There's a huge difference over here between a candelabra, which is a kli, albeit a very foul-smelling kli, and a stone that's not a kli at all. And that's the answer. That's the difference between the two of them. A candelabra, which is a kli, even if it's foul-smelling but could be used for another purpose, is not considered mukta. But a stone, which isn't a kli, is considered mukta, even according to Rabbi Shimon. And I'll prove to you this is right. Milo Tanya. Isn't everybody in agreement? And we turn to the Omid Beis over here, where we say over here a Mishnah that tells us in Moed Katan, Hashirayim v'hanizomim v'hatabos, we have over here all sorts of jewelry. Shirayim are atzados, Rashi says, they're bracelets. And nizomim are nose rings, and tabos are finger rings. Harehin k'chol ha-kelim ha-nitolim v'chotzer. You're allowed to go and move them in a yard. Now, Rashi explains, afu pisha also lotzeis b'hem l'shus ha-rabim. You're not allowed to wear them outside l'shus ha-rabim, because we're going to learn later on in our Masechta, in Perek b'me'ish yotza, what is a woman allowed to wear out on Shabbos? So she's not allowed to wear all the things that she would normally wear in jewelry, because gzera dilma shalfa, she may come to take it off, umachfi, and show it to a friend. Look at this beautiful ring I have, and carry it down l'amus in l'shus ha-rabim. However, they are allowed to wear it in a yard when there is no concern. Not in Rosh Hashanah, but they're allowed to wear it in a yard. Why is that? Because Toras Kli Alein, Rashi says, Miu Toras Kli Alein, Umutu Latotalon, Shaloki Derech Malbush. They're allowed to move it even when they're not wearing it in the yard over here. So Harehin Kakola Kelemani Tolim Chotzer. There is no difference between these jewelry type of adornments, the bracelet, the nose ring, the finger rings, that aren't allowed to be worn in the Rosh Hashanah because we're concerned you may come to take them off, but you're allowed to move them in the chatzer. And V'omar Ula, my Tam, why is that? Why are they allowed to be moved? If they're not allowed to be moved in the Rosh Hashanah, so then they should be muktza. So how come they're not? So the Ikatara is Kliola. It's because they have the status of being a kli. So hachanami, ho, v'ika toras kli aleh, so too with the candelabra. This foul-smelling, naft-fueled candelabra is still a kli. And that's why you're allowed to go move it to cover up a mona. But the rocks, they're not a kli, and therefore they're not allowed to be moved. And that's the teretz that Rav Avi gave to Rav. And I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Oh. Rich Rachmana lo kesifei Rava l'Rav Avia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected Rava from causing Rav Avia embarrassment over here, because Rav Avia really had a teretz over here, and therefore, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make it that Rava embarrassed Rav Avia. Again, very difficult story for us to understand on a simple level, but with the background that this is really a Melchama Shal Torah and a Melchama L'Shem Shemayim, we can maybe better understand it. And anyway, we continue, and we see Rami le Abaye le Rabba. Abaye asked his Rebbe Rabba the following Shaila from the following Brisa. Tanya, Moser Hashemin Shebenerah Shebekara Oser. We already learned previously that the extra oil that is in the lamp after you light it for Shabbos, any leftover oil in either a lamp or in a kara or a plate, we'll see that the lamp and the kara over here are the same. They're both small. That's very critical. We had this in the name of Rabbi Shimon earlier. So the Tanakama, which is either Rav Yehuda or the opinion of Rav Yehuda, he says that the extra oil is muktzah all Shabbos long, like the opinion of Rav Yehuda. However, Rav Shimon is matir. Rav Shimon says, no, it's not, because it's only while the light is lit. Shehuktzah lebitzvaso, huktzah lisuro, the Rav Shimon says it's no good. Alma, what do we see over here? Rav Shimon lesley muktzah, clearly, Rav Shimon doesn't hold muktzah. Now, this is the standard understanding that we've had of Rav Shimon until now. So Abai is asking over here, Raminu, but a Mishnah says otherwise. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Koshein Mumo Nikor Meir of Yantiv. This is dealing with the halachas of a Bechor. A Bechor is not allowed to be shechted unless it has a mum. Nowadays, as one is that, it can't be shechted until it has a mum. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, you could bring it as a korban. So nowadays, you have to wait till it has a mum to be shechted. Now, you're not allowed to go shechted on Yantiv if it didn't have the mum beforehand. So Rabbi Shimon says in this Braisa, Koshein Mumo Nikor Meir of Yantiv, if the mum wasn't visible on Erev Yantiv, then it's not considered over here min hamuchan, and therefore it's not allowed to be shechted. But wait a second, According to Rabbi Shimon, there is no concept of muktzah. So what difference does it make? Was it muktzah at the start of Yontif that it didn't have a mum or not? According to Rabbi Shimon, there is no muktzah. So it seems from this brisa that Rabbi Shimon does hold muktzah. So we have a stira seemingly in Rabbi Shimon's understanding of is there or is there not muktzah. So that's what Abaye asks Rabbah. Rabbah responds, he says, Hachi Hashem, the two are incomparable. When you have the case of the oil, so the oil is going to light for 2 hours and then it's going to go out. And whatever oil is left in the lamp, the guy's going to dip his salad into. So Hossam, by the oil, by the lamp, the light is going to go out. Just a question of when. Now, 15 minutes from now, or half an hour from now, and any oil that's left over in the lamp, I'll be able to use. That's, therefore, why Rabbi Shimon says it's not muktzah, because even during the Bein HaShemashos period of time, he's expecting to use it whenever the oil runs out. And that's why B'davka is talking about the oil that's like in a lamp and is in a kara. It's a small amount of oil. It's not expected to last all of Shabbos. However, here, in the case of the Bechor, the animal doesn't have a mum at the start of Yontif or Shabbos. He has absolutely no expectation. He's not sitting there waiting, oh, it's going to get a mum, going to get a mum. The animal may not get a mum for months. And therefore, he has no expectation. So at the start of Yontif, if it doesn't have a mum, he's putting it out of his mind. He says, there's no way I'm going to be able to shech this on Yontif. And therefore, the person is as if he's saying, there's no way that this animal is going to get a mum. It's as if he's saying, there is no way that this animal is not muktzah, because it can't develop a mum by itself. And why do I expect that it's going to suddenly develop a mum over here on Yontif? And even if it does, no, there's a chance it could get a mum. Even if it does get a mum, who says it's going to be a mum that I'm allowed to go shechted on? There's a mum that's a transitory mum, and then there's a mum that's a mum kavua. So this could be a mum over. Maybe it'll just get a little cut, which will heal, and then it's not a mum. And you can't shecht on such a basis of a mum, because it's not a permanent mum, it's only a transitory mum. And even if it does get a permanent mum, even in that rare situation that maybe it does get a permanent mum, nevertheless, who says you're going to find the Talmud Chacham that's going to examine the mum? Because you're not allowed to examine a mum on Yontif. As Rashi says, in the Ramas, who says you're going to find a Talmud Chacham that's going to go look to see if there's a mum there or not? And Tosa says, near the Kol Hani Miyemas, the first two Miyemas over here, the Kama Rabbah, Lavdavka, they don't really make the case. It's even just if you knew that you didn't have a Talmud Chacham coming, that would be enough. Dar Rishimon Osar, Afil Benopa Bamum Kavua, Meir of Yontif, the Hashda Leker Elechad Miyemar, even if there's only this one. Still, Rabbi Shimon would say that you can't go and shecht such an animal on Yontif. Because after all, you're not allowed to examine it on Yontif. And therefore, in this situation, it is considered muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, there is no stir over here. In general, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold for muktzah. When you have the lamp and the oil is going to go out, the lamp's going to light's going to go out, and any oil that's left over, nope, he's expecting that. But in the case of the mum, you're not expecting it. And you're not going to find the Talmud Chacham that's going to go against the din and declare that it's a mum on Yontif anyway. However, that's Rabbah's teretz to Abaye, but Mosiv Rabbi Barchama, Rabbi Barchama doesn't like this teretz. He says, Mefiru nedarim b'shabbos. There is halacha that you're allowed to go be made for. The Mishnah tells us in later on the Gemara in Shabbos that you're allowed to be made for. A husband is made for his wife's nedarim on Shabbos, and likewise v'nishalim nedarim shem l'tzarach haShabbos. And a person is allowed to go ask the Talmud Chacham to be matir. We use the lashon of mefer for a husband to a wife, and we use the lashon of hatara when a Talmud Chacham is matir in neder. So you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Gemara says, "Vamai, how come? Who says her husband's going to come and nullify the vow that she made at the start of Shabbos? So therefore, now on Shabbos, since you don't know that he's going to come, it was muktzah during the Bein HaShemashos, and you're not necessarily going to expect that the husband is going to come and go and annul this vow that she made. So therefore, shouldn't this be the same case as the Bechor? And yet you see that it's not." Tosfos point out that it still wouldn't be fully muktzah because it may be not allowed for her to eat it, but other people can eat it. So we're really talking about over here that it's not talking about the food being muktzah. You could technically move the food since other people can use it, but she shouldn't be allowed to eat the food. Bottom line is, you have a stira over here between the case of the Bechor and the case of the Hafaras Nedarim. Why is one allowed and why is one not? Shmuel says, no. Hosom kidrav pinchos mishrei derava. In the case over here, of the vow in the Hafaras Nedarim, so Rav Pinchas says in the name of Rava, the Amar Rav Pinchas Mishmei the Rava, Kol HaNoderes Al Das Bala Hi Noderes. When the woman makes a neder, it's never just a stam neder. It's always with the assumption this is going to be approved by my husband, or it's not going to be approved by my husband. And she knows that maybe her husband won't approve the neder, and therefore it never really takes the status of being muktzah, even at the start of Shabbos or at the start of Yontif, because it's all based upon her husband. As opposed to a Bechor, there is no husband there. There is no concept that it will automatically happen, that a Talmud Chacham will come and say that this is a mum kavua on Yontif. So the two cases are different. Great, so that solves the problem of hafaras nedarim, but it doesn't solve the problem of the hataras nedarim of the Talmud Chacham. So Toshma, Nishalom nedarim shel tzorech haShabbos b'Shabbos, we said that you are allowed to go and ask Chachamim to be mati neder for you on Shabbos if it's a tzorech Shabbos, but how come by my, why don't we say even if they were mati it, who says you're going to find the Talmud Chacham to be mati neder? Lema miya ma'ad mizdaki lechacham. This should be exactly the same case like the Bechor. Who says you're going to find the Talmud Chacham to go and declare that the Bechor has a mum kavua? So too, who says you're going to find a Talmud Chacham that's going to find a Pesach for your neder and be mati your neder? So aren't those two the same? So you still have a problem? Shmuel says, no, there's a big difference. By the animal, by the mum, you need a mumcha, you need an expert. But by Hataras Nedarim, all of us, when we do Hataras Nedarim, every Hashanah, every Yom Kippur, whenever you do Hataras Nedarim, so you don't necessarily look for the rabbi and two other rabbis to go and be Mati and Ned. There, you go to three people, whichever three people around you. They're technically hedyotos. It's not a pejorative. It means that they're not mumcha. They're not experts in the dinim of Hataras Nedarim. But any three people will do. Shlosha hedyotos. So there's no chance that you won't find three people. So therefore, the case of the Hataras Nedarim is totally different. There is an assumption that you'll be able to find three people. Therefore, it doesn't take, so to say, muktzah from minute one, as opposed to the Bechor, which there's no expectation that you're going to find the Talmud Chacham that's going to go and declare that it's a mum kavua on Yontif. Therefore, there's a difference between the two cases. You can rely upon three people. But by the Bechor, who says by the Bechor you're going to find the Chacham that's going to go against the Halacha and go and declare that this is a mum kavua on Yontif? Now we go back to Rav Shimon's statement that, again, you can permit it to go move the lamp, the metal candelabra, or even a earthenware candelabra after the oil has gone out, the light has gone out. Who says, in fact, Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to move the lamp? Kofsa in, lo kofsa lo. That seems to suggest that only if the lamp has gone out are you allowed to move it. But you can't move it while the lamp is still lit. But that's a problem, my timer. The reason why even Rabbi Shimon says you can't move the lamp while it's lit is because you may come to extinguish it. When you're moving it, the wind, the movement, may make the lamp go out. And that's kiboy, and you're not allowed to do kiboy. But wait a second, if this is Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. Now, you're not intending to put the lamp out over here. While you're moving it, it so happens that it goes out. That is a classical Davar Sheinu Miskaven. And Rabbi Shimon should say that that's mutter. So why does Rabbi Shimon say you can only move the lamp after the light has gone out? He says, Shay, you're allowed to move the lamp even when the light hasn't gone out, because if it does go out, it's a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, and therefore it should be mutter. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Odom Kisei Mita V'sal. So you'll have to go drag a chair, a bed, or a bench on the dirt floor, and it's going to make a groove. As long as you don't want it to go and make a charetz, as long as you're not intending to make the groove, it's a davar sheinu miskaven, and therefore a davar sheinu miskaven is allowed, according to Rabbi Shimon. So that's what Abaye asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef responds, he says, no, there's a difference over here. When does Rabbi Shimon say a davar sheinu miskaven is mutter? It's only by Inisa d'Rabbanan, but by Inisa d'Oraisa, he even agrees that a davar sheinu miskaven is not mutter. So that's what Rabbi Yosef says. If you had done this on purpose and it would have been an Issa D'Oraisa, that's Dichi Mechavein Ika Issa D'Oraisa. When he's concerned about a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, that's by an Issa D'Oraisa. So for example, if you put the lamp out, that's an Issa D'Oraisa. That's the normal way that you put a lamp out, by blowing it, by moving it. Kilo Mechavein Gazer Rabbi Shimon Midrabbanim. So in that situation, when there would be a real Issa D'Oraisa, if you did it intentionally, so even though you did a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, that is going to be Asur Midrabbanan, even according to Rabbi Shimon. However, if the only thing that would be done over here would be an Issa D'Rabbanan, Kol Echad Ikri Mechavein Ika Issa D'Rabbanan, if you had intended to do it by dragging the chair on the ground, and you intended to do that, it would only be an Issa D'Rabbanan. That's not the way you normally dig a charetz. You take a shovel. You don't take a chair and drag it. So even there, it would only be an issa derabanan. So kik lo komichaving, if you didn't have intention to do it, shari Rabbi Shimon lechatchila, then even lechatchila, Rabbi Shimon allows it. So davar shen miskaving, according to Rabbi Shimon, is potter when you're dealing with an issa derabanan at the most. But if you're dealing with an issa deraisa, so then even Rabbi Shimon would say davar shen miskaving is osur. Where our question is, Masiv Rava, Rava says, wait a second. I'll show you from the case that we had previously in the Masechta, a person selling kilayim jackets. So what is he allowed to do? Mokhri kasus, mokhri kidarka. The people that are selling kilayim jackets are allowed to sell them in the normal way, which is you put it on and show that it fits nicely. However, if they're doing so, they would be overwearing kilayim, but that's not called the yisiv kilayim. It's only bevachal yiskavim b'chamim necham, as long as during the summer months you putting it on to protect you from the sun, and ubik shaman during the winter months, mipnei gshamim, you're not putting it on to go be a raincoat. So in that situation, you're allowed to do this. And even then, that's nuyim, the people that are medaktik in their mitzvos, mafshilim b'makalachre, and they don't actually put it on their shoulders, they go and put it on a hanger, and they show how it would look on you. But what do you see? You're allowed lechatchila to go and do this. Okay, the tznuim don't do this, but lechatchila you're allowed to go and wear this kilayim in this fashion over here. But tznuim mashila, only the tznuim do it in this other way. Lechatchila you're allowed to put it on, but how come? But if you were to put this on intentionally and say, I want to be protected from the sun with this garment, or I want to be protected from the rain with this garment, that would be an issur deraisa. And therefore, according to what you just said, kiloma kavin shari Rav Shimon lechatchila, would Rav Shimon say you're allowed to do this lechatchila? But this would be an issa deraisa. So according to what you just said, he shouldn't have allowed this. So Gemara says you're right. Taka, that's correct. So El Alma Rava, you know what the real reason is over here? And we turn to the Amud Aleph on Mem Zayin. Hanach l'ner shemen upsila. This whole case is different. Why can't, according to Rav Shimon, even though it's a dovah shenu miskabi, it should be potter, and therefore it should be allowed, and therefore, so what? Why can't you move this candle even while the flame is lit? He says, because this is an exception to the rule. Because you have to leave the candle over here with the oil and the wick. That's different. Hol v'nasa bosis l'dover osur. You know what this is over here? The whole purpose of this over here is for the isser. As Rashi says, this entire structure, the candlestick, the wick, the oil, exists for the flame. L'shal heves, the b'chi hai muktza, in this situation where it's totally subordinate to this muktza thing, mo'od Rabbi Shimon, shekli topel, l'shal heves, ba'oda bo. So even Rabbi Shimon says, if the whole purpose of every structure is while this flame is lit, it's for the flame, it's nothing to do with the chayish l'chavya. It's nothing to do with the dovah shenu miskabe. That's what we pointed out a few days ago. Rashi brought down in the Mishnah that the reason was shem yechabe. But he said, no, the real reason over here is because it's a basis l'dover osur. The whole existence of this candelabra, this shem and the oil, and the wick over here is for the flame. And therefore, that's why even Rabbi Shimon would say, while it's lit, the whole thing is subordinate to the flame, and therefore it is muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon. But as soon as it goes out, it loses its muktzah status, and Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to go and use it. With that, we conclude today's shiur.